Welcome to the program. Our guests today are Joe Albaugh. He's the Associate Chief Information Officer and Chief Information Security Officer at the Department of Transportation. Dwayne Melanson is the Chief Technology Officer for Tripwire. Bill Lay, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for Information Assurance and the Chief Information Security Officer at the State Department. Good to see you, Bill. Jim Flaging is the Managing Director for the Chertoff Group. Jim, thank you for being here today. And Chase Garwood is the Acting Chief Information Officer at the Small Business Administration. Gentlemen, thanks for coming today. We'll start with you, Chase. The definition of continuous monitoring has varied over the last years. Are we starting to see it coalescing around one particular theme? And if so, what do you see?
Well, I think it just depends on where you sit. So I'm sitting from a deputy CIO, acting CIO position versus kind of a CISO position. So continuous monitoring to me is defense in depth. It's just another tool to rationalize and take all the data and tool sets that I have in our toolkit and consolidating that into not just a paper exercise and not just a paper certification and accreditation and in an annual cycle basis, but more operationally sound security from my perspective.
Bill, at State Department, the continuous monitoring efforts have been underway for a long time, one of the pioneering agencies in that effort. What are you seeing as your efforts move forward, as you progress and evolve there? What are you seeing your fellow agencies doing along the same lines as what you're doing as far as a definition of continuous monitoring?
What I'm seeing is a coalescing across the federal government space where all the agencies are trying to get their arms around how do we have good situational awareness on our network space. At the State Department, we've had an early adoption of continuous monitoring probably for about 3 years now. And there's been a huge number of lessons learned applied there. And I hope that has been really instrumental and formulative to helping Homeland Security pull together their bigger project. The challenge that we've had is keeping up with technology in that it's a continually changing environment. And while you got continuous monitoring giving you the insight into what's going on with your network, we're continually adding new tools, new technologies, new operating systems, and that it becomes a very cumbersome challenge to keep up. And that's one area we really need to pay attention to in the future.
Jim Flaggy?
Yeah, please. So continuous monitoring, I think, is interesting. It's both a government program, but it's also a framework. Mm-hmm. And it's a framework where we can move the ball from a focus on compliance to a focus on risk management. And that's really, I think, critical. And if you look at actually what's involved in the program, it starts with deploying sensors widely across the network, collecting data from those sensors in real time, then prioritizing threats specific to your organization, and then diagnosing the impact of those threats on your assets, and then within 72 hours, issuing a patch to sort of bring you up to ATO. So in that sense, this is significant in that in a 72-hour cycle, you can have a full ATO. Mm-hmm. So I think those are some of the key steps in the continuous monitoring framework.
And Joe Albaugh, there's a school of thought that a definition of the words continuous monitoring is not as important as the concept behind it, which is that situational awareness mm-hmm. that Chase talked about. And because of the technology changes that Bill mentioned, the definition's going to change just by its very nature, and so that situational awareness is really the thing that matters, yeah. not the words. Is that
exactly,
fair to
exactly.
say?
I mean, so for those practitioners who've been dealing with ATO for the last 11 years, in 2003, we were fortunate enough to have that at the end of our CNA cycle, and everybody was asking the question, what is this continuous monitoring as part of maintenance? And everybody attributed it to all the stuff we had to do in between our reauthorization cycle. That situational awareness is really what we're trying to get to, right? We've launched intrusion detection systems. We have firewalls. We have malware. We have these things across the enterprise. What we don't have is situational awareness of what those things do collectively and how that paints a posture, a holistic posture of what we're trying to accomplish, which, you know, as technologies change, the framework, as Jim mentioned, allows you to bring new technologies in without having to start over from scratch. And that's the important piece of continuous monitoring.
Dwayne, the idea of continuous monitoring is good, and of course the federal government's pushing that. But from an outsider's perspective, somebody who works with federal government customers on an ongoing basis, What are you seeing them do that's good, and where are you seeing them miss opportunities to have this situational awareness we've talked about?
Well, I think a lot of the challenge is not so much in kind of the actions of continuous monitoring, but more what do you do with this information when it comes in? And I see a lot of agencies struggling with, okay, we are now producing more information than we ever have before. We're not always well equipped to deal with it and kind of sort through it and prioritize it and things like that. So it becomes one of these things where, you know, you've just turned on this spigot of data coming at you. And if you're not ready in terms of risk categorization, in terms of system prioritization, understanding the impact of, you know, a system compromise or a suspicious activity on your mission, it becomes very difficult to know what to do with it. And I see that's where I think a lot of the opportunity comes in. And there's a lot of pre-work that you can do on the front end to better set yourself up for success when you start creating this. Mm-hmm. And then the other part is developing new habits about how you use this information and how you report on it and what kinds of things you bring to light, which kinds of things you can squelch to keep them off the radar. And, you know, so I think that's really where a lot of the challenges have come in.
Chase, that's exactly what the challenge that you're having with all the data that you're collecting, not just on the security of your network. What do you do with all of that stuff once you get it? Because it sounds from conversations you and I have had before that you're cracking the nut of the awareness of the network, but then when you know that something is a problem, what do you do with that information? How do you respond?
Well, I think it really is that risk-based framework. It's where do I triage? Where do I listen to, you know, operational and mission perspective versus security perspective, and where do we make those choices based upon risk? The second part of that is, do I have the skill sets, do I have the tools on an operational or an engineering perspective to tackle that issue or tackle that gap and those capabilities to not just push the patch, but is there any cascading effect, you know, testing and all these other things that you have to do in a much more rapid cycle? Not to mention, I think we're doing a much better job nowadays with the tools that we have to avoid what we were starting to see as far as I call kind of data smog. Great. I'm getting all sorts of alerts. I'm getting all sorts of vulnerabilities and all sorts of things. You know, that overwhelming bow wave of, oh gosh, do I get into vapor lock and not do anything about it? Or how do I quickly and better in a framework perspective surge my you know, to that specific threat?
Dwayne?
And to add on to that, I mean, one of the things you asked was what are people doing well in the federal world that they may not be doing commercial? I think adoption of the NISC risk management framework has been huge. You know, I saw a survey recently that federal agencies are better at integrating risk into their decisions than commercial right now, which I think is a huge result of this kind of constant push to integrate risk management more tightly. The other thing you're seeing is that the risk management framework is evolving, and I think it's becoming a lot easier to apply, easier to adopt. And I think that's a huge benefit to federal agencies.
Bill Lay, has this this avalanche, maybe overstating it a little bit, but maybe not, avalanche of data that you're receiving about the security of your network been helpful, or is it also kind of a burden to have to go through all of this stuff to understand what's going on your network?
Obviously, both. We're dealing with false positives because we have so many monitors and sensors out there, and so it's always important to be able to quickly deconflict information. The tools are getting better to help us with that. And that's one of the things our continuous monitoring dashboard gives us, the ability to get a broad-based view. So we're not chasing after every anomaly that may pop up on some sensor. At the same time, the more information, the better, because the attack vectors are always coming from different directions, and if we can't see it, we can't defend against it. Mm-hmm. So it cuts both ways.
And Joe, he's exactly right. The threat vectors change on a constant basis. They get more aggressive all the time. How do you keep flexible so that you're aware? I mean, you essentially are in the role of having to stay one step ahead of the bad guys and able to anticipate what the threats are and how they change.
Yeah, and the challenge in that is trying to stay one step ahead, knowing that that they have a million windows of potential ingress to attack us. We have to make sure every one of those windows is closed. They only need one to get in, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of times with some of the more advanced threats that we deal with, it takes on the characteristics of authorized users on our network, right? So how do you then look at additional levels of data of authorized activity looking for the ingress point that is was something that was, you know, either through a spear phishing attempt or maybe a misconfiguration. So that one tiny needle in a set of needles rather than just a haystack is why it's important to have all of that data, but you have to have smart ways of digesting that data.
Jim Flaging, he mentioned phishing, and that reminds me that the threat vector, the landscape, is dramatically broader and deeper than it's ever been before because of the ways that people can get into networks now that they couldn't before. What's the implication there for continuous monitoring when you have so much more to monitor than you've ever had?
Yeah, and I think it's it goes beyond continuous monitoring, but you're exactly right. So we would advise that CIOs or technical leaders stop and say, we all know that a network-based security paradigm is no longer working. The malware, the threats are inside the network. And if you really look at what malware is attempting to do, it's, as you said, it's attempting to compromise and steal identity. So we think that from an architecture point of view, you want to have a really strong architectural view of identity and also a data-centric model as well. Because in the days of the cloud, your network's going to the cloud, your data center's going to the cloud, your applications are going to the cloud. But the two things you own your identity and you own the data. And now it's... identities are more than just people, right? Identities are devices, identities are applications. So each of us could have up to a dozen identities. That's a lot more attack space for the bad guys. So we think that some of the other things that you need to be more thoughtful about is a stronger use of encryption and dual-factor authentication. And I do think actually over time we're going to do away with some of the, you know, hard cards, the CAC cards, and probably actually use things more like virtual credentials on your phone, mm-hmm. which is something you always carry with you. So I think in terms of some of the additional technologies, but back when you talked about data management specifically, I think that we're seeing people move from a focus on causation to a focus on correlation. Because if we're looking at this much data, cause is harder, correlation becomes much more important. And that's a fundamental principle under big data. And clearly, continuous monitoring is a big data application.
Well, then, Jim, I'll stay with you. Is attribution important if we're shifting from causation to correlation? Does it matter where these attacks are coming from as far as a response goes?
Attribution is very important. It's also very difficult.
Mm-hmm. The bottom line on continuous monitoring in the time that we have left is we've talked about the information, and we've talked about what you do with it when you collect it. The action is something that we'll get into also. But, Chase, I'll just start with you to wrap up this part of the conversation. When you start to respond, how is that response changing based on the changing threats that we've already discussed?
Well, I think it's much more flexible. We have, as everybody's just said, we have much more data to more quickly diagnose and also that triage of where do we need to go? Is this not, is this the infrastructure layer? Is this the network layer? Is this the application? That type of normal battle rhythm, I think, is a much quicker cycle nowadays to be able to operationally respond to real threats, get rid of the false positives, and then if it's a configuration or a patch or if it's something like that, address very quickly. And I think over these last couple of years with our business partners, our business community and the mission side, they're now much more aware of that cycle time and much more open to quick and rapid responses.
Bill, your experience with that at State?
Our experiences with continuous monitoring, we have a much broader operational picture. It's not just the eyes and ears watching the perimeter that's seeing things. Now we can expand that view to operationalize it, whether it's our network administrators, our database administrators, or sysadmins. And so everybody has the same view of what's going on. That way you can respond much faster. You can coordinate your response, and we spend a lot of less time trying to educate each other about what we think we're seeing. So it does move us toward mitigation at a much quicker rate.
Joe, is that what you're seeing at transportation?
Yeah, it is. But one of the caveats in that is it helps me answer what I call the so what question, mm-hmm. because I get that from my program owners a lot, is vulnerabilities exist or a situation occurs against their system, and many times that system is a mission-critical system, right? It can't just be dropped offline. We take a week to diagnose and troubleshoot it, figure out what happened. We have to be very quick and judicious in how we respond to these things, and I need to explain it in terms that they understand. So this ties to the risk management framework, but if I take that data that comes in, if I take that attack or the the evidence that I have to support that breach. I want to turn that into something that they understand in a way that makes sense to them and impacts their mission in their businessian markup language, if you want to call it that, in program speak. Mm-hmm. That helps me react much quicker by answering that so what question. And I think a pragmatic application of continuous monitoring gets us there.
Mm-hmm. Jim and Dwayne, you have the advantage of looking at a broad spectrum of agencies, as these gentlemen have experience inside their own agencies. Dwayne, I'll start with you to wrap up. What are you seeing agencies doing with the data and the execution of the fixes mm-hmm. with the data?
Well, I think one of the real benefits of this is that it's starting to move kind of the focus on more action, more decisions, and things like that. Whereas before, a lot of these were just, you know, hey, we'll gather it, we'll file it, we may need it later. It was more of a compliance exercise, where now it's more of an operational decision support mechanism where, you know, we have a lot of things that are threatening our agency. What are the top threats? What are the top places we should deploy resources and things like that? And it allows people to be much more prescriptive about, you know, what they're going to do. When you get these so what questions, when the so what becomes something of concern, you know exactly where to apply pressure to resolve it. And I think that's a huge difference from kind of the past where it was more compliance centric.
Jim, we just have about 45 seconds left, but you were nodding in agreement with Dwayne when he was talking about the prioritization concept.
Well, I think it's a key piece is it gives you the opportunity to focus. And I think that's top of the list. Focus on your key assets. Make sure that you have policies in place for those assets. Make sure that you have plans to do remediation against those assets, and then measure and follow up. I think that's really key. The second thing this does is it really gives security executives a chance to redefine the relationship with a non-technical audience. And I think it's really at three levels. First, really deeply understand the mission. Second, deeply understand those support processes that drive the mission, IT, supply chain, logistics. And then three, come to agreement with your business partners about what's the right level of audit and control on those key processes. And if we do that right, we can then deliver a set of metrics that are less arcane, more easily understood by the business owners, and you're going to get greater adoption and buy-in.
That's Jim Flaging. He's managing director at the Chertoff Group, part of our conversation titled Continuous Monitoring, Tools and Techniques for Trustworthy Government IT, sponsored by Tripwire on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We'll be right back.